We have exciting guests today. I'll tell you what, this is a delightful couple. I just met them last night, but they just flew in from Israel. About a 23-hour flight they had. Yeah, so they're kind of tired, but they look refreshed right now because they spent the night at Babe and Doris's, and they don't have a way of invigorating people. Babe and Doris do. And so I am so thrilled to meet them. They work in the hardest place in the world to work as a missionary, Israel. There is no place harder to work. Your life is always at risk, and the people there don't want to hear what you have to say, and they will attack you. And so this is a wonderful couple. They work for Jews for Jesus. Peter and Yardan Nasser are both going to give us some testimony. Thank you, sir. Kepha, God bless you.
Shabbat Shalom.
I'm
really excited to be here this morning. It is an honor for me and my wife. And let me open with a prayer before we begin. Abba, we thank you for everything that you provide for us. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the rest of this day and to bless the rest of this gathering, Lord. Let us focus on you, Lord. Put our eyes on you, Lord, and how much you love us. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile the both to God, one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. As the rabbi said, my name is Peter Nasser. I was born in Israel, in Galilee, in a very small Arabic village. I'm not Jewish, I'm an Arab. Growing up as an Arab, I went to Christian also family. I went to church, though I, you know, knew all about Jesus, all about Yeshua. But I really never connected it is something for me. It's something that I should know about. But then when I was growing up, in age 18, I moved to the big city, to Tel Aviv. In Tel Aviv, I started to feel hatred from the Jewish people. Back in 2000, there were lots of bus bombings and bad people. And so Jewish people, when they looked at me as an Arab, they looked as a tourist. They couldn't see I'm Christian or anything else. And they treated me as a tourist. And I felt really hatred. You know, as my sinful nature, I felt hatred back to the Jewish people. Until one day, I felt I need to go out from Israel. I don't want to live anymore in Israel. So as I began my journey looking for basically my life, all I wanted is peace, peace in my heart. I went to Switzerland. I thought, this is the land, where's the war? No wars, everybody's good. But we know all that this is not really true, because all human And you know, the Tanakh says there is no righteous one without sin. So even in Switzerland, I found out that people also hate me. And I had a girlfriend, and after 2 years, we broke up, and I was like confused. What happened to my life? Now I lost everything. In those 2 years, I started to build my empire. Well, you know, my dreams. And how I'm gonna, that's it, leave Israel for good. And in 1 second, God destroyed everything. I moved to Australia, far from Israel. Switzerland was still okay, like close. Australia was far. But soon enough, the guy was supposed to be Christian though. But the guy that I stayed with him, he stole my money, he stole my things, and he threw me out in Sydney alone. And I, again, was like, what is going on with my life? I can't, like, settle down. I can't find my life. You know, I was always trying to do my way. I never thought, you know, God, you know, I even knew about God and Jesus and everything. But I never really cared a lot. So in Australia, I met a missionary. He was going, giving pamphlets on the streets. And people didn't really like him a lot. But still, he had so peace in his heart and love for the people that I could see from far. And I was like, wow, I want that peace. And I went to him and said, you know, what's your secret? You know? And he said to me, basically, it's Jesus, Yeshua. And I was like, no, it can't be. I know about Jesus. I grew up in church. It can't be. And so he said, well, you know, so what do you do? I said, well, I'm just homeless, nothing, you know. And so he said, okay, I'm also, you know, don't have much. So join with me, you know, and when I have food, we will eat. When I don't have food, God will provide. I said, sure, why not? And I went with him half a year. And, you know, God was really providing. I didn't really have money, you know. And he didn't really have much money. But God always provided. And I was amazed. But I still was stubborn. And I couldn't commit my life to Jesus. I couldn't commit my life to God and say, you know what, God, I know I screwed up, but I couldn't. So I called my brother, which he lives in New Zealand. So I said, okay, you know what, can you buy me a ticket, by the way? You know, some guy stole me and everything. And so he bought me a ticket, and I went to New Zealand, hoping again to find my way, you know, to find my peace. But I didn't really want peace that God offered me. So basically in New Zealand, I started to search for work. Back in Israel, I studied as a computer programmer. And it's supposed to be really easy for me to find work, because back in Israel, I did find work. I worked with IBM, I worked with different companies, and I was like, really good. But in New Zealand, I couldn't find any work. And I was like at home. And started to think, you know, why I can't find work? Why I can't just settle down in one place and find my life? My brother, who was a believer, he gave me some books and he said, you know, instead of wasting your time with cigarettes, Yes, at that time I was smoking and I was drinking lots of alcohol. And instead of, you know, wasting your time with the internet, why don't you read books? Well, give me some books and I will read. So he gave me the Bible. you know. And I said, okay, sure. And I started to read the Bible. And, you know, it's true. Every word in the Bible is true. And God promises, if you submit your life, He will take care of you. And I, you know, Jesus said, Yeshua said that, you know, give me all your burdens. I don't know how to translate it in good English. But, you know, the verse about taking the burden, I was like, that implies to me. Now I hated, you know, the Israelites, the Swiss, the Australians, the New Zealanders, everybody, the whole list. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to pray. And I did pray. And that moment, God just took out all the hatred from my heart, all the burden, every piece of it. And, you know, now my heart is empty. And He just filled it with love, you know. He filled it with His love, and I was like rejoicing and jumping. And my brother like, what is going on there, you know. And I say to my brother, you know what? I don't know what happened, but I love the Jewish people. I love the Swiss. I love those people. I don't know. I'm happy, finally. And, you know, God is so great because He did what He promised. He gave me the peace that I, you know, He promised in the Bible. But the story doesn't end here. The story goes to, I really felt so loved for Israel that I knew that I have to come back to Israel. I did not know why. I did not know exactly what's, you know, what will happen there. You know, if you're in computers, you know, programming, if you lose 1 or 2 years, then nobody would really be interested in you after this. And it has been like 2 years after I left Israel and it didn't work. And how can I explain this to the companies in Israel? I just wondered, you know. And so I came back to Israel with a lot of faith. And in Israel, I just started to do what exactly I remembered the Australian, the missionary in Australia was doing. Basically going out to, you know, the streets and telling people about my love for them. How Yeshua changed my life. How He gave me the peace. But God didn't stop right there. While evangelizing in one event in Akko, I met a beautiful lady, and happened that she's Jewish. And yes, it's Yarden. It was weird for me that God gave me to fall in love with a Jewish lady. I was like, okay, wait a second, God, you know. Jewish person, Arab person, that's weird, you know. But God had a bigger plan, you know, than this. And after really like fighting all this, my thoughts and my parents and my every, you know, the Arabs that in my life and the Jewish people that, you know, were involved in this, I listened to God and we got married. And then, you know, we started to evangelize together, going to the streets, sharing about really the peace that He was talking about here. You know, in Ephesians, it was talking about peace that between Arabs and Jewish, between Gentiles and Jewish, between Americans and Jewish, between any really nations. He brought us, as a Gentile I'm speaking, He brought us to the Jewish roots, which is really very blessing, you know, to be part of, you know, the family of God. And You know, in evangelizing in Israel, we met just with Jesus, and they, you know, say to us, you love to evangelize? We said, sure. And they said to us, you know, why don't you come, you know, volunteer with us? It was really hard, to tell you the truth, because, you know, it's a step of faith, basically. It's a step of, you know, surrendering all your life. And I did evangelize voluntarily, you know, here and there, when I had the breaks, when I did, you know, for out of the job or something. But to evangelize in a daily basis in Israel, it's a whole different story. And before I continue and before I tell you about exactly what is going on in Israel, I would like to let my wife share her story, how she came to faith.
Thank you so much. So, as Peter told you, that my name is Yarden, and it means Jordan, River Jordan. And surprisingly, actually, I wasn't born in Israel. I was born in Ukraine, in a family that my father is Jewish and my mom is Ukrainian. And my father and mom, they didn't believe in God, and they were raised in a communist government that not allowed to believe in God, believe in Bible. So they didn't know much. The interesting that my mom, before she got married, you know, she was dating my father, and her family was against that because my father was Jewish. And my mom's family, they, you know, it was a miracle because she thought, like, my father's Jewish, and this is how somehow connected to Jesus because Jesus was Jewish. But she didn't believe in Jesus, and she didn't believe, like, in Bible. She didn't know anything. So that was like connection in her mind, but she didn't know anything about besides that. And miraculously, actually, her father gave her a blessing, even he was against, you know, Jewish people. So, and then they got married. And when I was 7 years old, my mom was in her 30s, she started searching for truth. She read different books about Krishna and mysticism and Kabbalah, and she tried different religions. And we ate vegetarian food, and we did yoga, anything. She tried everything that, you know, cleansing your physical body, your spiritual, but nothing could fill her heart. But one day, when I was 7 years old, she came home so filled with joy and had peace in her heart, and she started talking, and she said, oh, I accepted Jesus in my heart. You know, for me as a kid, I was like, how did Jesus get in her heart? You know, how he get there? So I didn't really know much. I didn't knew much, but a little by little, my mom, she took me and my brother to a congregation she used to go, and those times it was just home congregations. It wasn't churches. And so I raised a little bit now to know Jesus. So Jesus in my mind was like a kind of a good man, you know, with a sheep on his shoulder, loving children. And this is what I imagined. I didn't know he's a Messiah. I thought like Christ is his family name, you know. So, you know, I didn't know that Messiah and Christ is the same in Russian. So, from other hand, it became a competition for my grandmother, Jewish grandmother, that she used to celebrate all the Jewish holidays like Hanukkah and Passover, and she was very, very devoted to Jewish community in Ukraine. So she just started also taking me to Jewish community to celebrate all the holidays and knowing, learning about Judaism. So that one Sunday, my mom was taking me to church and my grandmother was taking me to Jewish community. You know, and then, so when I was 15 years old, I had a dream to come to Israel. You know, all my family was also thinking about coming to Israel, but because of some of their family problems, they couldn't come. So they sent me as a spy. I'm joking. So when I was 15 years old, I was accepted in the Orthodox Jewish school in Israel. And so I moved, actually, and I knew that I moved on my own. So my family left back in Ukraine. And at the age of 15, you could imagine, it's like for this age, it's like you're searching for adventures and, you know, you want to be independent. But right when I was on the steps, you know, of the airport, when you're going up, and then, you know, the next, you will not no more see your family. You don't know how long, for a year or maybe more years. So I was like feeling like that's it, you know, it's excited. I was excited, but from other hand, I thought like, that's it. You know, I don't know what will happen to me. But then in my heart, I remember the words from the Torah that the God said to Abraham, go to the land that I will show you, you know. So even I, in my heart, I believed in God. I didn't know much about him. And I didn't, you know, it was like more culture for me. Even for my mom, it was personal relationship. But she couldn't much explain it to me in a Jewish way. So when I was remembering these words, I knew God will take care of me. I didn't know how. And then when I came to Israel, I started studying about Judaism and, you know, going deep. And I became an Orthodox, and I was celebrating. And very, if you go to Israel, it's very, very strict. You know, you don't switch the light, you don't wrap a paper, you don't draw, you don't write, you don't, it's so much don't. And a little bit of do. So, yeah, it was really, really hard. And I searched. And then one Shabbat, that I couldn't do anything, so I started reading Bible. You know, we had only Old Testament, and I opened on Isaiah 53. And when I was reading it, it was said that he was, struck by our transgressions and the man of sorrow, and we despise him. And I just and that we like as the flock went astray from God. So when I look at this, I saw a picture of Jesus, and I thought, but there was no Jesus name there. And in parentheses, it was said Israel. So that's like that's what the Jewish people think that applies for Israel nation. So I was like, but it doesn't fit, you know. So I start reading more and more, and I just could see the picture of Jesus as he suffered for us, and he's the one. So I took this book and I went to my roommate, and I asked her, could you read this and tell me what's that about? And she read, and then she took the Bible from the synagogue that we had, and she threw on the bed and said, how dare you to bring me the New Testament? And I was like, that's the Old Testament, that's the prophecies that we study at school. And she's like, that's about Jesus. And I don't think she came to believe in Jesus, but even she could see that. So I knew in my heart that that's truth. So I started reading more Bible and, you know, praying to God to reveal me the whole truth. And then next day, after praying, I went to on the street, and somebody gave me a little track that it was said that so God loved the world that he gave his only son. And it was actually in Israel, in that place that I used to live, in Russian it was even. So I was really, I knew God answered my prayer, and he found me. And I knew that, you know, all that prophecies that he said, you will go to the land and I will bless you. So I just found the connection that God led me through all this way. And you could imagine, like, through this, from age 15 to 18, I was, like, for 3 years living without my parents. And I felt so lonely. Even I'm a Jewish, and, you know, Israel, so many Jewish people, but different cultures. And sometimes here you feel Jewish, there you don't feel, like, people sometimes reject you because you emigrant. So sometimes I felt, like, so lonely just because of that, and also because my parents not next to me. And Jesus, Yeshua, he saved me from my sins, from my sinful nature, And he gave me peace because he's a prince of peace, Sat Shalom. And I just could trust him and follow him. And then I also started going to Messianic congregation in the area I used to live and met a lot of Jewish believers and that shared their stories with me and testimonies and Holocaust survivors that came to believe in Yeshua. And I was so encouraged and I felt like God gave me a new family. I'm no more lonely. He take care of my wounds. And, you know, he gave me this strength and all my depression went and he just, you know, I could trust him. He showed me on the, you know, I don't have this much time to share with you, but, you know, even like when in this school, one of the rabbis, I had a test. And on this test, he asked me a lot of questions about Judaism, how you practice, how you keep things. And every time I answered the right answer, he will do we, you know, right, correct. And then he asked me about Jesus. And he said, like, you know, what do you think about Jesus? Does he say truth? And then I knew that this is the time God testing me. And I even now, I don't understand how did I do that. But I told him, you know, Yeshua, he said the truth. And he was looking at me with these big eyes. How, like, after practicing all these laws and everything that we teach you here in school, you're saying that he said truth? And I said, well, show me one thing that he didn't do. He didn't say it didn't happen. You know, everything that he taught, it was from the Old Testament. It was, you know, he came to make a new covenant with us. So I said to him that I believe that Yeshua, he is the Mashiach, Messiah. And so that actual conversation, instead of this doing this exam for 10 minutes, it became like 1 hour. And after that, he didn't want to accept any more girls. So... Yeah, but really, he was really curious, and he asked me questions, and we just had this conversation. And in that time, I thought now, like, that actually I become a missionary there, like God made me like that. So, and I shared with him the gospel, and, you know, of course, he wanted to meet with me more times. And then we met more times, and by the end, he said to me, you know, I'm sorry, I can't pass you this test. So he failed me. But in my heart, I felt such a peace and such a joy that I felt that, you know, I passed the God's test. It's not about man's test. So I graduated school, and God blessed me in various ways. I met more believers, and God gave me this joy to come and talk to also Jewish people from Orthodox background, from secular background, and share with them how God loves us and, you know, how he make this way for us through Yeshua that was born in that land. And, you know, in Israel, many people don't know his real name even, Yeshua. He called him Yeshu, which means may his name will be erased and blew out from our memory. This is how they call him. And it's so sad because they even don't know. This is the way they taught. So it's really important to share with them. And what happened in the Middle East, all these wars, people depressed, and we have also economic not as good. You know, even sometimes Jewish people fight against each other, different people. So it's sad they lack this salt. We are salt of this world. You know, Yeshua make us. He's the real word of God. And, you know, we there to share it. So I praise God for saving me. And thank you for accepting us. And God bless you.
Thank you. To give you an idea what is to be a missionary with Jesus in Israel or any missionary in Israel for Jesus, basically there's lots of anti-missionary organization that their whole purpose is to trying to stop us. Rabbi Nate knows some stories from Israel, how some Orthodox Jewish people would try to do any of the means trying to stop the Messianic believers to evangelize or to exist even. Actually, when we were couple of, I think 1 week ago, there was a big riot in front of like thousands of religious Jews trying to do a riot in front of Messianic congregation in Israel. And they just give them a lot of hard time. They want them to be out of the city, and it's not easy to live as a Messianic people, a Messianic believer in Israel. And this is our really prayer request, that you can pray for the Messianic believers in Israel. They are suffering from persecution. They're suffering, you know, we have different persecutions. Persecution, first of all, from outside, like the Palestinians. Persecution from the inside, the Jewish people, that they don't accept us. Me and my wife, we do go to evangelize every day on the streets in Israel. And we do face a lot of persecution. Actually, also 2 months ago, Yarden's brother, he was evangelizing next to a university, and he was got beaten up very badly until they broke his nose and broke his mouth, and he needed to be in the hospital. And so please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And not only the peace of Jerusalem as peace from the Palestinians, you know, but peace inside, the true peace that they should, that they, God will really, that the Holy Spirit will move their hearts, and, you know, that they can be saved. Because I think with no Yeshua in the land, with no Yeshua in the heart, there's no really true peace. Doesn't matter how much they try, doesn't matter how much agreement they do, there is no real peace without Yeshua. In your way in, you probably received a brochure which looks like this. If you did not receive it, please raise your hand. Yeah, then we'll bring some to you. If you basically, we have a tradition, and probably you know that Jewish people are based on traditions. Traditions. We have a tradition. What can we do? Tradition to tear out the brochure. You have an involvement card in the brochure. So, in count of three, please let us tear out the brochure together. One, two, three. Great. If you do fill this brochure out, you sign up for a free monthly newsletter, which probably you did also last week or so. If you did fill this brochure, you signed up for a free monthly newsletter. If you did not fill it yet, please feel free to fill this brochure out, this involvement card, and put it in the offering afterwards, or that we can collect it. In our newsletter, we do, you know, have some tips on how to share our faith with Jewish people, some good stories from the branches, but the most important things is really our prayer updates. In Israel, we have launched, as in Jews for Jesus, we have launched a program called Behold Your God Campaigns. During these campaigns, we have we have divided Israel for 12 geographic regions, and we have committed to do a campaign in each one of these geographic regions. Two campaigns in a year. That makes it 6 years campaigns. So each year we go, each area we go there in that area, let's say Tel Aviv area, we go to the Tel Aviv area for the whole month. We, from the morning until the evening, we try to reach out to the people in different ways. On the street, handed out tracts. On the media, we try to do some newspaper ads, screen TVs on the street. We try, and in different, you know, methods, calling. We call people in their houses to try to know about Yeshua. And after, who those people that are interested to know about Yeshua, we send them first of all a New Testament, and then we call them up for follow-up, hoping that we can meet with them and open the Bible one-on-one with them. So please free to fill those brochures out that you can receive our free monthly newsletter. The second way that you can be standing with us is by visiting my literature table there, which you all are actually also know about this from the last week. I do have some books there, and some for free and not so free. So please also visit our literature table on the foyer of the church. And the third way that you can be standing with us, basically by giving financially. And you know, we're not a church. We're just an organization to evangelize, and we do not want the church money. So whatever you might give tonight, this morning, basically, it must be above and beyond what you really normally give to your congregation here. I would like to ask Rabbi to come to...
Thank you. Can we have the men come down with the offering? We're going to take an offering. Please make your checks out to Jews for Jesus. And if you have those slips filled out, put them in the buckets too as they come by. And also, there's a literature table in the back. They didn't put out as much stuff as they had last week because everybody kind of bought stuff last week. So if there's things you need, they might still have them if you ask them. Lord God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the blessing of these two special people from Israel, these evangelists who go out on the streets. Lord, we ask them that you protect them and watch over them and care for them and keep them safe. And just bless them as they witness to Jewish people and bring them to Yeshua. There's nothing greater in the world that can be done than to bring the Jewish people to Yeshua, because then he'll come back. And so these people are out there on the front lines, and I ask you to just protect them and let them do that. And Lord, help us to bless them by providing financial support for their ministry. Every dollar that we give goes into helping them do their jobs. And so we ask that you give us a mighty blessing for them in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.